Well, Pine Lake kids, we want to invite you to come down to the carpet. So this morning, can you say this? We talk about disciples all the time and what we like to look like as disciples and be as disciples. And so on there, we have three phrases that are kind of formation, our rhythms, how we are becoming like Jesus. And so could you say this together with me? We are going to be with Jesus. Say, be with Jesus. Say, become like Jesus. And do what Jesus did. Okay. And we've been in this series called Reformed, and in this Reformed series, we are talking about ways that we have deformed and the ways that are counter to the way of Jesus, and then we have been formed into, we want to be reformed into the way of Jesus. And so this morning, I have a little, we're talking about money this morning, and kids, before you start on the sheets, I have something to give you. I want to give each one of you an envelope. Okay, so here's an envelope. So I have a envelope for every one of you. And then, and what you're going to do in there is you're going to find some money. Okay, you're going to find some money. You're going to do, oh, there you go. And pass that one back. And in this, okay, kids, listen. So what are these each say? Can anybody look up here? What does this one say?
Spend.
What do you think you do with this? In this category, what do you buy?
Yeah.
Buy what? Kind of like, give me some ideas.
Like toys.
Toys.
Candy.
Candy. Books. Makeup.
Essentials.
Essentials. Very good. Good job. Good job, Mom. Yep.
A shelter and food.
Shelter and food, correct. Okay, what do you think we do with the share? Do you know what the share is? Anybody? Anya?
Share with others.
You share with others? Yep, Haley? You share the money with other people, right? Okay? So this is more of things like you can share with like God and with others, like, right? And the way that we support missionaries, right? And then what do you think what does this last one say?
Save.
What do you think you do here with this? Yeah. You save for things that maybe you need later, right? And what else? Anybody else? Save? Yeah. Save it for later. Okay, so kids, so what I want you to do right now is I want you to grab all your money and I want you to put in where you think you should put your money. Like how much do you think you should put in spend? How much do you think you need to put in share? And how much do you need to save? So you've got about $8 or $10 in there? There's $10. So you have $10 and I want you to divide it between all of these spaces. Okay, so kids, come up. And start putting them in the bins which you think you should do this. All right, kids, as our kids are doing this, like I want you to see this like exercise. You'll be able to see it as they kind of come down. But this is one of the things that we taught from an early age. You're being formed. You're being formed by watching your parents, by watching others. You're being formed by when you go to the store and they see a total amount. And instead of giving cash now, you just swipe a card, right? You know, but every time they see something, right? Like our kids, like, oh my gosh, can I just say, I'm going to out myself a little bit. When we go to Costco, our kids know what are we looking for? We're not looking for the total cost. We're looking at the price per ounce. Like, that's just like us. Like, I mean, I grew up that way, and so it's like in my bones, right? And so even as a 40-year-old, I look at price per ounce more than I look at total cost. And so, like, I'm just innately wired to give that to my kids. But so our kids are deciding up here, like, where should their money go? And so the questions that I have for us... Yes, we were playing with it earlier and they were like, we were just throwing it everywhere and we picked it up. I have a question for you kids. I have a question for you. There's one right there. Hey kids, I have a question. How did you decide how much to put in each bucket? How did you decide to put in each bucket? Like what were you thinking? Stephen, how did you know how much did you put, how did you?
spending.
Four in spending.
Three in the middle one.
Three in the share.
And three in...
Okay, three. So you kind of divided it up equally. So you thought equally. Yeah, how did you... Only one in spending? Yeah, okay. Go.
Three in share.
And the rest in saving. I think we know what kind of, accounting, business, that'd be great. Yeah. You put all your money in share? We'll talk about that later. I love you. I love your heart. Maren, how did you decide? You put a lot in share too? Okay. Awesome. You put it all in saving? Okay. That's great. I love it. All right. Yeah.
I put one share
in spend, three in save. So 4-3-3. Okay. So kind of equal. I love it. That's an incredible way to kind of divide when you see the buckets, right? We have buckets and they look, they look a pretty like even, right? They're there, yep. And so I think like our kids and even some people put their names on it so they know like which buckets and whose money is what. I think that's great. That's incredible. That's awesome, right? Like, hey, this is me. So good. I wanna look at a text this morning that's gonna kind of frame our conversation around money and what followers of Jesus and how we interact with it, how we are formed and who we are deforming or reforming into. And so this comes from Matthew chapter 6. And so I want you to read this and look on the screen, but it says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then down to verse 24, it says this. Jesus concludes his section on this saying, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And so the question, like, I want to pose for all of us, our first question, because this is Disciple Sunday, which for us, if you haven't been here before, this is a conversation with. Like, we believe there's times where we always want to be a church that talks with each other, but we take one time a month, the first Sunday of the month, to really have that conversation, because we believe that we disciple one another. I'm not the only one discipling you. You have many people in your lives, and people in our community should be the ones who are learning to disciple in each other. So the first question this morning that I want to kind of talk about is, how would you decide, or how do you decide, what is your operating method for how to divide your income in these three categories? We're just going to use these three simple categories, even though I know there's like a lot in there. But like, how would you do that? How do you, what is your formation? And again, like adults, there's teens in here that want to have seen you as parents, but also in how we want to share with others. So how do you decide? The kids already shared. I know this is like, they're a little bit more innocence, but yeah, how do you decide? I know this is
necessities.
The bare necessities. Yes. So right. That is one. Like, man, you got to hit the bare necessities. So the ones that all saved, well, thank you for forming them, into the bare necessities. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. What else? How do you divide? How do you decide what goes where? You did what your parents did. That's awesome. Great. Yep. So whatever happened to your generations before slowly trickles down and influences you. Yeah. What else? How do you? So tithing, yes, that's a one about them. Yep.
That I take an approach that I can afford anything,
okay,
not everything. And so I, when I'm thinking of the spend category, try to think about the things that matter most.
Yeah, so you kind of have a hierarchy of like what matters most, and then you kind of delineate down through there, and then it's like what happens. And then I love that. Can we just name that? Then the money's gone. Like, I'm just going to be honest. Like, it gets down. And then at the end of the first of the month, I'm like, okay, when's payday coming? Right? Like, my kids are like, hey, can we go out? And I'm like, no. Right? Okay. How else have you been formed? Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that we actually did this past week was cancel Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Because it does not honor
Imago
Dei in everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so dividing and being formed by your money's matched your values. So you are making decisions based on the values, where you shop, how you spend, are decided upon the values. Okay, so I want to ask another question. How have you been formed in this dialogue throughout your life of finding and following Jesus? Like, what are the questions you have around faith formation and money? Like, what questions do you have? Like, I think it's great to start with questions more than just, like, seeking answers. Like, what questions do you have? What things are you, like, curious about when it comes to faith and money? Yeah.
At what point is money bad?
That is a great question. I love that. Yeah. At what point? So you feel like there's a teeter-totter? Like, at one point it tips. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, that's not really Christian value.
So where does that drive meet values, and is there a place where you have now moved into a different formation and maybe like culture and other driver values than by your faith? Yeah. What else? What questions? What thoughts do you have around it? It doesn't have to be questions, thoughts. Yeah.
I believe everything comes from God, but I believe He's given me a certain portion that's supposed to go through. And what is that?
Yeah, what is the determination of, like, if all of our resources, if we are followers of Jesus, and we believe that He is the giver of all good things, our breath, and even our resources and our money, like, at what point, how do you divide those things in what goes out exterior and what stays interior? Right. These are incredible, incredible questions. And one of the things that I want to realize is that we have in the church and in Christian stories, we've been deformed by how we operate with money. And we've been talking about in this a series of being like a disembodied, meaning like you can compartmentalize faith, life, and all into these different, and they don't have to touch each other, but we've talked about how embodying. And the reality is, we've talked about is, our deformation is that we believe, or we have been told, that money has no negative impact on your faith. That how you deal with this is a separate thing, and that it doesn't have really any impact on your spiritual life. And one of the things that we want to talk about is that as whole beings, that God didn't say He looked at everything and said it was good and then kept creating other things or forming policies and procedures after He created everything to show that it was divided. Like, He looked at everything, the relationship and how we worked within creation, how our relationship was with God and with other people. Like, it was all together. And so we have to move out of that negative impact, that anything outside of faith can be separated. But so that the question then, like, if that's the truth, one of the things is we have to move from an idea of just like a temporal to an eternal, right? So, like, we are not just, if we believe in faith, we know that this life isn't the end, right? Right? Some of you are questioning that? Okay, great, awesome, great. Yes, there is a life to come, and we believe that what happens now, not only is the end, but we also believe that what happens now can have eternal impact. And so the question that I wanted to ask you is, like, how can our money have an eternal impact? Move it from temporal, right, to how does our money, like, become like eternal? Like, how does that have an eternal impact? Talk to me about that. What does that look like for you? Like, how have you seen in your life, using the resources, particularly in money, the way that God has given you to make an eternal impact on the kingdom of God, both now and in future? Yeah, yeah.
When you steward your money properly, you can then bless other people with it and further the kingdom. And if you're going to make not wise choices with your funds, then you can't help people even if you want to.
Yeah, there's that. She talked about how there's being a wise steward of your money. And by being a wise steward, it gives you the opportunity to bless others. Then instead of just saying, like, if anything I have left over, then I can use. Yeah, yeah.
This is kind of a funny story, but it'll make sense.
Okay. Sacrificial system. That's great. Formation. I love it.
So I was upset when I figured out it actually ran the church. And then later on in life, I was like, oh, that's actually really, really cool because people are then involved and in that internal factor. If it had gone off the cliff like I thought it would, it really didn't do anything.
Right.
Well,
we hope that there are people at the bottom of the cliff that are going like, yes! And then when we stop throwing it off, they're like, what happened? Like the Lord is like, no, but that is great. Like, what you think happens with the money, like, that is collected in a tithe, like before, like you said, it just like disappears. It just goes. It's not used. But then to understand that it is used for the kingdom of God. Yes. Yeah, what else? How else has your use of money had an eternal impact? How do you see that? Yeah, Curtis talked about this movement of money, and that if it's not moving, it becomes an anchor that stops, like everything in your life. Yeah. Oh, so he's asking me like, and maybe this is where I'm like, you know, in my pastor, I'm like, oh, this is a great question. But then people are like, say what? Like, I've been thinking about this all week. And so he asked the question, like, what does this actually mean? Like, how does it have an internal impact? That's what you're asking. Yeah. So that's a great, great question, because let's use the categories that we have behind us, right? Let's use spend, share, and save. So for us, one of the things that we talk about is internal impact, is that we believe that the kingdom of God is all around us, right? That the kingdom of God is moving and the Spirit is moving within us. And when the Spirit meets us and invites us to participate in the kingdom, not only with our hands, not only with our worship, not only sharing the gospel, but he can also encourage us to use what we have to bless other people. Right? So an example from scripture is when the feeding of the 5,000, right? It wasn't the disciples or Jesus who brought the food, but who did he ask? Yeah. A little boy. A little boy brought his resource, you know, and the Lord multiplied it. And at that moment, not only did they feed everybody 5,000, but the Lord was able to work through it. And people then knew that this must be the Messiah, because this isn't possible to take a finite resource and feed everybody. So that has an internal impact, because all those that were there experienced this little boy use what he had for an offer to Jesus to work the kingdom and allow those to know that this was the Messiah. Okay? Does that better?
And also, for 2,000 years, we've been that little boy's action. We hear about it.
Yeah, that's been forming us, right? Like, we say, like, yeah, we do that as a church. Hey, can we come and can we give our resources to impact our local community and to the world, right? So, that's a great question. So, I love it. How else, when we talk about that, how have you lived this idea of an internal impact with your money?
Okay, I have a comment.
Yeah.
So when God blesses you, it is an opportunity.
Yeah. So tell me more.
Blesses you, it's an opportunity. And with what God has blessed you with, how it makes an eternal impact and you actually invest in kingdom advancement is really important. Because whatever God gives you is not for you alone.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's the poor around you, there is the community, you know, there was a place in the Bible when the Bible says you saw the homeless, you gave them home, people that were without clothes, you clothed them. And he said, if you do this for one of this, you've done it for me.
Yeah.
If you feed the poor, you've done it for me.
Yeah.
If you think about eternal impact and kingdom advancement, number one, whatever God gives you, you need to give God a tenth of it, right? Or whatever you decide to give God as. You know, this is God's provision. You know, if God didn't give you, you don't have it.
Yeah.
You got a part of what is provided for you.
Yeah.
One, and you remember the people that God has positioned in your community, the people that needs to be sheltered, the people that needs to be fed. You know, community development and impact.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, then you do it for God, and that's when it has an eternal impact.
Yeah. I like. So I'm gonna. I hope some of you heard about. I'm gonna bring a quick summary of that. That. Our resources, our money are an opportunity that we are blessed to be a blessing. And she talked about in Matthew 26, he talked about the sheep and the goats. When Jesus said, how do you have an internal impact? His internal impact was, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. So that even by the providing the material things, you are doing it not only to provide for others, but you're doing it to Jesus. So I think that is entire, like, we have to tether our money to Jesus. That it's an opportunity. Yeah.
So I feel like a really good example of this, kind of that as well, is people aren't just going to be reading the Bible if they don't know God. People are going to be reading what we do for them. So, like, going, buying small people, some books, so like, that's going to be a really good
yeah.
And help them get to God. That's what they see.
That's so good. I want to repeat this so that you hear this. He said, before anybody will ever read scripture, they will read you. And I think that's one of the things, like, you might be before they ever, like, entertain scripture. Because right now, like, people's understanding of scripture and Jesus, we are moving towards a post-Christian where people don't have any understanding of what scripture is. They might heard the name Jesus, but you might be the only Jesus that they ever meet before they become a Christian. And how you live and what you do with your resources has an internal impact. Can in the same way, like, I'm not just saying, like, testifying, but, like, what happened with Jesus is the way that Jesus lived and the way that the disciples and the community in Acts used its resources, they asked questions. Why do you live this way? And then they were like, what did they say? Say, it's a name. Jesus! Yes, amen. Let's go. We're good. Yeah, Terry, you were going to have something to say.
Can you just read these three verses?
Oh, sure.
So they'll be heard.
Yeah, so it says, command those who are rich in this present world to not be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up for treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Yeah, so this is one of the things I want in our reformation. I want us to say this is, like, as disciples of Jesus, we need to spend, share, and save with an eternal impact. Like, we need to believe that what we do with our money has an eternal impact. And one of the things that you might think of, like, I don't think I do this, or you might be asking that question, I don't know if I do this. And I want to encourage you that you do. You do this in so many ways. There's so many ways in which we have provided for communities around the world, and we've provided for, I just want to give you a couple little kind of snippets within Pine Lake that we do that. We do that across the world with Pine Lake Academy. By serving the least of these, providing education and a future. We do this with our Romania partners, who are in the middle of a conflict and are providing care and love and resources and safety to those who are coming from Ukraine. We do it in our own community by providing the green bags every other month. For our community around us that are food scarce, that they have a food scarcity in their lives. You do that. And so this is one of the things that we want to talk about. And this will be, as we kind of wrap up, we want to elicit, again, faith is never passive. One of the things that you will hear at Pine Lake is our faith is never passive. That is not the faith of Jesus. It's the faith of something else, but it's not Jesus.
Jesus always calls us to act. And so I want to kind of set this up for you, because our kids are going to do something else as well. What they're going to do is we're going to dump out all of this. We're going to have them reorient the way, but we're also going to invite you to participate as well. And so one of the things, as we talk about this, I want to set this up for you really well. You came in and you got a piece of green paper with slip on it that looked like a PLCC dollar bill. Dollar bill, y'all. But what we want to do is we want to kind of say, like, what does it look like for us to kind of be able to, we want to do a spiritual audit for us. What we're talking is doing a spiritual audit in our lives. Because one of the things that I love in that text at the end, it says, you can't serve both God and money, right? Like, let's just be, it's tax season. If I claim my kids and some of your kids as dependents, what's going to happen? What? Nobody? I'm going to get audited. And there's going to be a penalty for me saying all the Harmon girls are my kids. Because now they're going to claim them too. And that's the thing, is like the reality, like it's not different. Like we got to put it in terms. On your taxes, you can't claim two things. You can claim what is yours, and you can't claim what isn't yours. And what you claim is a testimony to how you live. And so just as much as that time is a way to audit ourselves, like we want to do a spiritual. Like where do you need to spend, save, share differently? And so I'm going to set this up really quickly. I believe that we know kind of in our spend, like that's what I call my 80%. My 80% of my income goes to spending. So unlike my daughter who wants to share everything, I will teach her better, because she needs a house. She needs a bed. She needs it to be warm. She needs it to be cool in the summer. But one of the things is that's not just the limiting factor. What you do with your 80% can have internal impacts. Like one of the things that you could do is increase your grocery bill in order to create more space at your table to provide food for neighbors and friends. Or if you don't like to cook, you can increase your going out restaurants budget in order to invite people to and cover the cost as a way to bless them. It is an opportunity to get together and eat over a sacred table. Or for some of the people that I'll be honest, I haven't done it yet, but I know people that pay a mortgage every month and they have people that live in their house or have shared out rooms to college students, to people that are in times of transition, especially in what happened in the bomb cyclone. I know there's many people that are using their houses for family and neighbors. There are many people that go and bless people by just using their funds to like, hey, I'm going to pay for this person's coffee. Something small as that can be radically like, why would you do that? Or people that go, you've seen the videos or some people like, hey, can I pay for your groceries at Costco? I know everybody's now going to be like, oh my gosh, I would never do it at Costco. Maybe the grocery store, but never Costco. But maybe the Lord's saying, like, have an internal impact. Like, boom. Like, I just saw the other day. Like, I saw someone come in, and they started to put things back because they looked at their things like, I don't think I have enough. Right? So we can use our 80% as a way to make an internal impact on your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, and the stranger. In the share bucket, we talk about this as in what we call tithes and offerings and in using your money to have a lasting impact. The reason why my daughter likes to do the share is because she wants to give all of her money to the poor. She has an incredible heart, and she would give it all if she could. But then she'd ask Daddy to buy the stuffy. But there are places where not only like our tithes and our offerings, but then the places where you can support you can sponsor a child. You can support a missionary. Like, these are in the share. Like, where has God called you? My favorite example is I have a friend that's a pastor, and in her share, she has a budget line item that calls her whimsy. That if anybody ever comes up, or she ever sees a need that somebody asks for her, she'll give half of it at minimum to whatever it is. She just gives it away. She's collecting money to give away.
She has a whimsy fund, whatever her whimsy is. Or in the place of like saving, where in your life like have you put together at times where you have saved, and not only for a rainy day? I do believe it. Like, we have a savings account for a rainy day. Like, I know that when the furnace goes out, I need to fix it, right? But somebody in our staff said this really interesting, and they asked the question. They said, isn't saving just future blessing? And I was like, dang, that's good. Everything is an opportunity to be used by the Lord. And so where in your life can you learn to treat our money as an eternal option? And so what I want you to do is, on the back of it, just ask, it has a place where you can respond. And so we're just going to ask you to respond in however way that the Holy Spirit, again, this is not me. The Holy Spirit, the living God, is meeting you right now in order to respond. From maybe what you've heard from other people, even questions that you've heard. Like, how can I make an internal impact? But the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. Is moving your heart to say, how am I going to use my resources that I have been blessed with to be a blessing? And so as we do that, I want you to think about this. Kids, what I want you to do, this is what everybody, do we have more envelopes or no? Okay, this is what I'm going to do. My kids are going to love this, and your kids are going to love this. What I'm going to do to you is I'm going to do this, and I want you to pick up $10 bills. And if I was going to say that you need to distribute, hold up. Well, you would distribute this the way that Jesus might want you to distribute it. I want you to do that now. The way that Jesus would call us to take care of our spending, take care of our sharing and saving, I want you to grab 10. I want you to grab 10. And I want you to put it back up here during... Oh, somebody has a dollar here. Okay. And so as we come up, I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. And what we're going to do is we're going to lead a time of response. And I want you to... And if you need this, we're going to ask you to come put this in whatever bucket the Holy Spirit is asking you to put this in. But if you need this as a response, write it down somewhere else. Write it in your notes app. Take a picture of it. Or if you just have a really good memory, take a snapshot with your eyes and then hold it with you as you go. But I think the Lord is asking Pine Lake, is it inviting you to have a participation in the kingdom of God, like the little boy, and saying, Lord, what do you want to do with my resources? Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, what this morning are you moving in our lives in a topic so sensitive as money? Holy Spirit, we are never moving to be prescriptive people, but responsive people. Holy Spirit, you don't want us to abide by legalism, but to be response out of love to you. Would we be an overflow? So Holy Spirit, right now, as we take moments, where are you stirring in us? You don't want to ask more from us, but you want us to do more with what we have. Holy Spirit, we are just a vessel. Let us not be a container, but a vessel. Holy Spirit, come. Amen.